In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So take a second just to settle. Lord, would you anchor our hearts and minds, turn our hearts and our attention towards Jesus Christ now? Prepare our hearts that we might hear your word. Holy Spirit, apply the work of Christ to us. Give us your comfort. And Lord, as we move towards confessing our sins, I pray that you'd give us the faith to receive the forgiveness that is announced to us in Jesus' name. Amen. So on page D in your book, this will be exciting for you. For the last several months, I have... I broke down the confession for you and just gave us a little bite size. So we've been saying, forgive us for what we've done in thought, word, and deed, and for what we've left undone. But that's actually just a small part of a bigger prayer. And today, you're ready for the bigger prayer. So on page D, as we search our hearts, we ask God to forgive us. And so we will pray, if you can, and you want to put yourself before God in a position of receiving where it's not up to you. We pray the prayer of confession, and then you'll receive God's word from a minister of God. So it's three little paragraphs, this one. You guys ready? Let's pray the prayer of confession together, saying, Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. And Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for you. And for his sake forgives you all your sins. And as a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The passages we're considering today are going to be in 1 John chapter 3 and Revelation chapter 7. But I wanted to... introduced to you as we get into the passages. Today is a day of celebration for the church called All Saints Day. And so on All Saints Day, the colors are white because the robes of the saints are white. And so that's there's always colors that go along with the days. And so today we're celebrating All Saints. And so that's what we're going to be discussing. So look for that as we read, and then the Lord will speak to us through his word. So 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 through 3, found on page 592. And Doug's going to read that for us. Go ahead, Doug. He knew about that. Don't worry. It's the reading of God's word. Thanks be to God. And now... Walker is going to read Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. It's found on page 597, if you're going to follow along. And you might want to mark these passages, especially this one. It's an interesting one that you'll want to reference, I think, later in life some point. Like, where does it say that again? It's right here, Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 through 17. It's the reading of God's word. Thanks be to God. So, All Saints Day, do you know what a saint is? Do you know what it makes a saint? So if I say you are a saint, do you believe me? You don't? I'm glad you're here. So let me start then today. You are the saints. The saints are all people who have faith in Christ. A saint is... someone who is set apart as holy. where God has given special attention to. Throughout time, there are certain people that we look up to, and we're like, they were great, faithful people. And so throughout time, there are the saints, but those saints have become people that are like way beyond us. They're so much better than us. They're people with special powers or special disciplines or anything like that. Is a separation between us and saints. And so we could ask those saints to help us or pray to them. And I just have to shatter that for you. That is not biblical. It's not a biblical idea. In fact, the biblical idea in the scriptures is that when you trust Christ, when you are baptized into Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you become separate. You become something holy. And God calls you a saint. So you're a saint. You're set apart, special, and holy. In fact, Paul, when he writes letters to the churches, you can double check me on this if you don't believe me, and I encourage it. In Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, all the beginnings, he says, to the church at Colossae, to the church in Ephesus, to the saints, to the saints, to the saints, to the saints, to the saints. He calls us saints. So you are the saints. Do you understand? Do you believe it now, Libby? Good. We understand it, but do you believe it? It's hard to believe because we don't feel like saints and we don't look like saints. This is where in 1 John, the passage that Doug read, see what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. See, right now we have been made from the inside out into saints, but it's covered up in our sin. Its full glory isn't been made known yet, but it will appear. So today the idea for me and for you is, do you remember the movie Goonies? Goonies are these little kind of awkward people, nerds or weirdos, but they have each other and they form a group and they have a phrase. What's the phrase? Goonies never say die. And they're going to get through whatever crazy story Steven Spielberg writes for them. It's going to be good. But Goonies never say die. And today I'm going to introduce you to the idea that all the saints, saints dead and saints living, we never say die. Saints never say die. Because we are saints now and forever. When God lavishes you with his love, this is an eternal love. When he makes you his child, he makes you his child forever. And so here's what we see about the saints. First of all, God's love makes saints. He initiates this by his own grace. Before you even knew what was going on, he said, I love you. It's just like all the little babies we have here. You didn't know what you were going to create. You just knew there's life. You love your baby. You love what they're going to be. It's the love of a parent. It's lavish, especially on the sweet, cute little babies. When they become teenagers, it's a different dispensation of love. It requires more discipline. But it begins with this love of making a place where a baby feels love and trust, and you protect, and you're containing all the emotions of the baby. You're helping the baby. You're loving the baby. You're creating. And so when the scriptures say God has lavished his love upon you, you are a child of God, not just in name, like, okay, I'm a Christian, but he's actually remade you. You are a new creation. How? Because Jesus Christ came in the flesh. Jesus Christ is spirit and he's flesh. So this is why it's so important that we say, born of the Virgin Mary. Because Christ came in the flesh. He became one of us so that you could be adopted, so that you could be reborn. And that, so we are made saints by faith in Christ. And then really the official time, it becomes official, just like an adoption. And I've used this before. You know, you might have a child, foster child for a long time. They love you, you love them. But then there's that day of adoption. It doesn't really change the love, but that day of adoption is legal and binding. And so at your baptism is the legal binding moment where God puts his seal on you, puts on you something official. And he's like, I've really made you my child. You have died and you have become something new. You're reborn and now you're a saint. You're set apart and holy to God. Just like you have things that you don't want to get ruined, you put them aside, you make sure when the grandkids are coming over, you're going to hide the nice things, put out the play toys. God does that with us because we're saints. I'm going to protect you. I've made you new. So the kids are set apart, but the world doesn't see our glory, and we don't always see it. So what happens after you're made a saint is that God promises us in the face of fear. He says, I will be with you in life, in death, and after, all the way to the end. I will be with you. You're my saints. And so his love makes us saints, but then his love fathers us into being saints. So we're children, but now we're fathered. And you know how he fathers us or parents us? How do you parent children? Well, you make sure they're home every night, right? You call them, come home, it's time to come home and eat. You pick them up from school, you bring them in, you gather them in your house, you make sure they're fed. You put them to bed, you want them to know they're safe, and then if you have energy, you try to teach them some things the best you can. And so God fathers his saints. You know how? He says, I've remade you, you're my sweet little children. Gather on a Sunday, gather on a day, any day that you can, gather around the word of God. Let me tell you who you are. Let me tell you about who I am. I want the family to get together around me. This is what God says. Come around me so I can share with you my food, share with you my safety, share with you my future for you. Gather. This is why church is so important. One of the reasons is because it's where we are fathered. We're parented. I want you to hear the word of God. I want to say to you every week, you're forgiven. You know why? Because 5 minutes after you leave this place, you live in a body of death. There is no forgiveness in the world. Right? In nature, there's no forgiveness. Did you ever watch one of those nature shows where the lion runs after the gazelles? There's no forgiveness for the gazelle with a hurt hoof. And the whole herd runs that way, and the one with the hurt one is like, oh, geez. And the lion gets it. That's the world. But when you're with your father, he wants you to know you're forgiven. I know you're wounded. Come to me. I'll protect you. I will love you. There's hope. You're not under the same rules as the world of death. Out there, apart from me, is tribulation, is hardship. You're hungry, you're thirsty, your face is stained with tears. So come at least once a week and hear me say, I die for you. I take that fear of the world for you. I give it to you in my son, Jesus Christ. You are my loved children. Let me father you. Now, fathering sometimes is discipline. So sometimes you're confronted with, maybe I need to change my life. Maybe I need to stretch myself a little bit here. Right, that's part of Father. But he gathers us, and he gathers us to worship. Now here's what's cool. This is in life. And for us, in life, we have this faith, and we're looking toward God and believing these things. But saints never say die. So the saints from 2,000 years ago, the saints in the Old Testament, the saints, all the people of God, they're still alive. They're not dead. Now, they're separate from their body, which is dead. But you know what they're doing right now? Did you see in Revelation? Did you catch that? Revelation chapter 7. Leading up to that, we didn't read all those things, but it says, go and destroy the earth, angels. But wait, first, mark all of my servants who are on the earth with the sign of Jesus Christ. Seal them. He says, put the mark of Jesus on their foreheads. See, in all of our hype, all of our freaked out nature, we always talk about the mark of the beast being on people's foreheads. It's like the mark of the beast. Did you know there's the mark of Jesus on their foreheads? It's right there in chapter 7. Yeah, verse 3. We've sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. Then he talks about all the people of God. And he uses the tribes to do that. But I want you to know, when we get to these people who are clothed in white robes with palm branches, he says, who are these people? And the elder in heaven says, he says, you know them. Do you know who they are? I don't know. Tell me. He says, these are all of the saints. These are the people who have made it through life trusting God. And so the saints right now are in their robes that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. This is their baptismal robes. Everyone who has believed in Jesus, when they die, they go to paradise, to heaven, and they are engaged in worshiping God. And they're saying, salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb forever and ever. And they're worshiping God. That's what's happening right now. Always. Ongoing worship. Here's why this is important to us. Whenever you worship and we gather to worship, we are joining the ongoing worship of the saints, all the Christians throughout time and space. That's what they're doing now. We join them. So when we worship, the distance between heaven and earth is opened. It's not just us. It's not just one church or this. It's heaven and earth. And so we are joining the saints in worshiping God when we worship. Now, did you know the saints up there? Jesus calls it paradise. We call it heaven. I kind of like calling it paradise because heaven means like sky. Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise, to the thief on the cross. But when you die, when the people we've loved have died, they're separate from their bodies and they're worshiping God. But you know what? They're not done yet. I want you to be clear on this. The goal of Christianity is not to die and go to heaven. That is not the goal. Heaven is stage one of two stages. Heaven is the staging area for the great takeover of Jesus Christ the King when he comes back to the earth to recreate the earth, resurrect the dead. Resurrection is the end goal for us. Paul says, I strive for the resurrection of all things. We don't strive to be out of our bodies worshiping God all the time. See, if you think the end is just to go to heaven, then you misunderstand the resurrection. You don't understand why Jesus had to be body and what the point of the body is, and you don't really know the connection. And so we know we're striving towards the resurrection, the recreation of the whole earth. We'll get there, but I want to mention this to you. The saints, as they're worshiping God, you know what they're doing? They still have faith in Christ. They're still worshiping him. But they're like, when are you going to restore the body? They're not done yet. They're worshiping, but they're not finished yet because they're missing this. And there's Jesus in his resurrected body promising the saints, you're going to get this. And I'm going to rule the earth with you, and we're going to get all the good stuff. It's not done yet. And so the saints right now in heaven are longing for Jesus to set up his kingdom. We're the saints here. We're worshiping and longing with the saints up in heaven together. Come, Lord Jesus, make it all right. So we are worshiping together with all the saints. God fathers us into that. So he's fathering them and he's fathering us. Trust me. I am the author of good things. And so we worship him and look to him. Just like a baby looks to a mom for fear, love, trust, they look to the mom. He's fathering us, dead and alive, to look to him for all things. I'm trusting you, Lord. And he says, that's right. The Father is lavish with his love. He loves us and has made us children. Now, watch this. In 1 John, it says, the world doesn't recognize him in all his glory yet. And what will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we will see him as he is. This is what is happening to the saints in heaven and to us. We're waiting to see the full glory of Jesus Christ, the full glory of us, which is body and soul, rid of sin, rid of death. And so his love makes promises to us. His love makes us saints. His love fathers us, but his love makes promises to all the saints. And so we're part of a group by faith, never say die. It's going to go on and on, but it's better than you can imagine. Here's, you know, I try to think, so what's cool about this? And here's what's cool. We live in a world where we lose parents to death, children, friends. People have died. And people, well-meaning people, say stupid things like, they've become an angel now. Or they're with you wherever you go. I don't want to, I shouldn't say stupid. They're trying to figure it out apart from the Word of God. I'm sorry. Forgive me for calling them stupid. But it's not helpful. Here's what's helpful. The Word of God, which says the people you've lost, the separation we feel, which is horrible, the closest to hell we'll ever be, the separation of a loved one. God did not create us for death. We aren't equipped for that. It's awful. But Christian, here's the truth. Whenever you come into worship, whoever you've lost, I mean, I can look around, I know. Parents, children, friends, 100%. When you come to worship, they are with you. You are doing the same thing as them. And they know it, and you should know it. When you come to worship and you say, praise God, you can say, praise God. And I know I'm worshiping you, God, with Dawn. I'm worshiping you with Jerry. I'm worshiping you with my son or my daughter or my mom or my dad. I'm worshiping you. We're connected for real. That's truth. Then it's even better. He gathers all the saints around him because Jesus is with you in life, in death, and all the way to the end. And he gathers us together. We're going to be with the people we love and we miss forever and ever. But here's what we're longing for, the new creation. And I want you to know, in the new creation, it's all about body. That's why we eat his body and drink his blood. Because Jesus came in the flesh and he goes, I want you to know the end game is the earth is ours. We shall rise again and inherit. The meek shall inherit the earth. We're not going to be disembodied spirits. We're going to be restored. God's going to call people out of the oceans, out of the fire pit, out of the ground, however you died. And he's going to, by the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, we shall appear like him. He's going to raise your body and your DNA, and your mind, and your personality, and we're going to live forever and ever in a world that is governed by Christ. Now think about this. What are we going to do in heaven? So now we can think about what we're going to do in heaven, because we know that Jesus, or in the new creation, because Jesus cares about flesh. And guess what we're going to do? All the things we do here, only better, because it's without death. You want to build beautiful buildings? You want to plant a garden? You want to go meet with your great-great-great-grandma, and not just do 23andMe and go, oh, neat, I'm Italian, but actually go and talk to your ancestors from thousands of years. Go and meet them, the people that you've lost, that you've longed for, that you've been separated from. Go see them again and do the things that they love and learn from them and sit with them and create and for 100 years live on the ocean and then go, oh, I want to live in the mountains now. And go do it and go create. There's going to be better works of art, better music, more beauty. See, we limit ourselves. We think the saints, we get to go play harps and worship. No, that's the bus stop. And all of our loved ones are waiting for us, going, we're worshiping God while we wait. But they're going, come, Lord Jesus, please finish this. And it's going to be awesome. And with authority, I tell you, the authority of the scriptures, the holy scriptures, your loved ones in Jesus, they're worshiping. We're worshiping with them today. And we will be reunited to our bodies. And we will be reunited as the people of God beyond all time, past, present, and future. That's why the angels are saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Our God is over time, and he's over death, and he's created a kingdom of people. And all you have to do is go, yeah, I want that. I really want that. But the world has corrupted it and made it seem like hell is more fun. I've never had fun once being separated from someone I've loved. That doesn't sound fun to me. And that's all hell is, separation from life itself. So, good luck. As for me, I'm going, Jesus, have mercy on me. So we say what we do in this life is we long for this purity of soul and body. And so we strive to love each other. We strive to obey Jesus. But guess what's followed it? Where you fail? This is for all the saints. All the saints then come under the gospel, which is, hey, I forgive you. You haven't lived up to your saint status. I forgive you. You've sinned. You're the people who get forgiven. Because saints never say die, no matter how bad you've messed up. You keep trusting Jesus, and you'll see these people again. And even the fear we have now, I get scared. What if something happens to my kids? What if something happens to you? Jesus Christ meets you in that fear and says, I know, something may happen, but nothing will separate you in eternity forever and ever and ever. Don't ever worry about that. I will be with you now and forever. This is what All Saints Day is. So we say, thank you, God. We're a part of something way bigger than ourselves. And for all of us with heartbreak who've been separated, just know, Jesus Christ rose from the dead so that we could be with the people we love forever and ever. We could hug them. And guess what? They'll be in their right minds. Whatever sin clouded their sainthood, in the new creation, they'll be everything you kind of knew they were supposed to be. They didn't quite get there in this world. They'll be that. It'll be perfect. So we don't mourn like the world. We rejoice as saints. You are the saints. God has set you apart. He's fathering you now, and he keeps his promises. He's going to resurrect us and bring us all together so that one day, even now, we can start to say with all the angels and with all the saints, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Father, I pray that you would apply this word to our hearts, that in the face of fear, whatever sadness we continue to walk through, it's impossible to get through without you. And so I pray you'd apply your hope of resurrection right now. And that you would begin to father in us the sense that we are worshiping with all the loved ones, past, present, and future, and that you keep your promise to us. I praise you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus, with all the saints right now. We just praise you. We thank you for your faithfulness, for your kindness, for your forgiveness, for being a father and a mother to us, for giving us an inheritance, for keeping your word to us. Thank you. We worship you with all the saints. We bow to you, our hearts and our minds, and we trust you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, that being said, let's confess. We confess the Apostles' Creed because it's all the saints who have gone before us since about at least 200 AD, they created the main things that we believe. I think I know it, but. And so as we say the Apostles' Creed, two things, realize this is what all the saints have confessed before us and they'll confess after us. But also notice when we get to the Holy Spirit, it says believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, and the communion of saints. That's what we're celebrating. Communion of saints means we're in a community of Christians that goes past, present, and future forever. We're connected. They're still alive. So when you say communion of saints, you can actually connect to it today. Right? Let's stand and say together the Apostles' Creed found on page B. And I say to all Christians who have ever lived or passed on, what is it you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. And as we pass plate, it's our reasonable praise to God. We give praise to God and we say thank you for everything we have. And we pray that the word of God would be continually funded and carried out on earth as it is in heaven. And so we give from a thankful and grateful heart. And as the plate is passed, I want to just pray kind of generally for everybody. So you can pass it while we pray if you're not done yet. So pray with me. Father, I ask for your continued blessing over New City Church and all who come. They are your people, and I set them apart to you, and I ask that you would daily cleanse them and daily remind them of how loved they are by you. I pray that you would bind and gag the spirit of the orphan, which leaves us feeling like we have to do it on our own or we have to prove ourselves. I pray that you would just drown that and replace it with the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy. And may we come to you, Lord, with our fears, with our joy, with our pain. And I generally pray for us, Lord, that we could come to you and say, Daddy, will you protect our children? Would you heal the sickness in our family or in my friend? Would you bless me at work, Daddy? Would you help? Dad, would you provide for us where we're short? Dad, would you be my identity? Would you establish my security? Would you establish and set up my meaning and purpose? Would you give me joy and life? Would you forgive me? And then I pray, Lord, that throughout the week, as we grow into being a child of God, that we could take a second and hear loud and clear your Holy Spirit apply the work and word of God in Jesus Christ, which is yes, I will take, I will help, I will heal, I forgive, I crown you with steadfast love and mercy. I am gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. I pray that we could walk in that, walk in the shadow of your wings every day, Lord, not looking at the outcome, but looking at where you're at and you're with us. Keep us rooted in the faith so that one day we're either reunited in our bodies with all the saints or we find ourselves worshiping with all the saints in paradise. But until that day, Lord, keep us faithful and minister your love and the assurance of all these things. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So before we go to the Lord's Supper, I want to pray the Lord's Prayer because these are things that saints have done It's what Jesus taught his disciples. So it's on page A, B, C, maybe C or D. Oh, A, good. It's the Lord's Prayer. As we prepare our hearts, let's pray together what he taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The other thing that Jesus set up for us to do, see, we're starting to see that when we're fathered, we have things that the Father does consistently. And he says, I love it when you pray. I love gathering around my word. I want you to hear that you're forgiven. And then I want you to celebrate this meal, because I never want you to forget that this whole thing is about flesh and blood. It's about inheritance. It's about peace between God and man. And you have it in Jesus Christ. And so the night that Jesus is to be betrayed, to be humiliated, and to die an early death among common criminals, his best friends don't know what's going on. And he does the Passover meal, and he says, I'm going to be the lamb. I'm going to be the blood and be the body. And he says to his friends, this bread is my body. This is my body, which is broken for you. I will die for you. I will pay the price for your insubordination, for your rebelliousness, for your idolatry. I'll pay for it. You don't need to hide. I'll pay for it. So he gives his body. In the same way, he pours the cup and he says, this is my blood for a new covenant, for the forgiveness of sins, that I will shed my blood for you. The day of atonement has become every moment of atonement now in Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, there was one day where you'd shed the blood of a goat, send another goat outside the camp. But Jesus says, I'm becoming that goat. I'm becoming the sacrifice, and it's here for you always. And he invites you to the table. If you love Jesus, come to the table. You're invited to God's table. That means fellowship and peace and promise and hope. You're in good standing. So if you have faith in Christ, you're invited to come to the table and receive not just the word that you're forgiven, but a piece of bread and a little bit of wine on the outside and grape juice in the middle. We give physical things because your inheritance is physical. It's not just spiritual. It's spiritual and physical because Christ was God and human. It's pretty cool. He came as a baby, just like Cal. Father, we thank you for these things. They are bread and wine and grape juice, but by your word you create. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And your word upon us has made us, turned us from sinners into saints. And your word upon this bread and this wine and grape juice has turned it into your body and your blood. And we approach it all by faith in Christ. So we thank you. I pray that you would assure us that our sins are forgiven and strengthen and nurture our faith and our hope in the resurrection of all things. And we all say with baby Cal, Amen. Have a seat. So, celebrate All Saints Day. Celebrate the reality that the work of Christ transcends space and time and all creation for all people, all times. And we will be reunited to him and to all of our loved ones. And so we say, thank you, Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Bree and for the gifts that you've given to her and the opportunities and the heart, the new heart that you've put in her to love your word. And we pray that you would bless her efforts in this film and beyond, way, way beyond what we could even imagine. That you would use all these efforts and the coordination and all that it takes to send and broadcast your word of life and salvation into every people and every tribe and every language and every nation, and that they too, who don't know yet, would be praising you with us, saying, worthy is the God who sits on the throne and the Lamb. So bless her work. Keep her safe and healthy, and bring her back safe with amazing stories. In Jesus' name, amen. Cool. All right. Receive God's blessing. Have a great day. It's nice weather. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he look upon you with favor and give you peace now and forever. Amen.